Today we're going to start making a real shift. We're in Jeremiah 32:17, and Jeremiah was in the midst of warning Israel of her destruction. Here's Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, and this applies to us today. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. That word stands throughout the ages, throughout the generations. However, Jeremiah and the prophets of old were prophesying for their time and for that dispensation. That was all before Jesus came. And so what we've made a decision that rather than put the judgment and all the stuff, and Tom's spoken about that before, but rather than put the judgment of all that stuff before Christ came and gave grace, this is a dispensation of grace that we're living in now. This is the wicked eon Paul spoke of. And Paul was trained up, raised up, called by the risen Lord. And he speaks a message of hope and what it's all about for our lives today. We weren't there for the Old Testament prophets. We weren't there, you know, to be under the law. We are in, we are going beyond, we are walking Paul's writings, because even those who walked with Christ, this is a whole different time. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we are living in grace, justification by faith. And so that's what we're going to be in, because what we need is hope. What we need is an impartation of the grace Jesus gave us.
If we can't live in the administration of grace and come out from under this oppression of judgment, and then you ask me, what do I think is going on in America right now? This is choices and consequences. This is a wicked eon, period. It's going to become more wicked. God has set it up that way. Judgment will come, but it's not going on now. People have lost their minds because they've long ago lost their way. That's all we're seeing. No reason, no rationality, no curiosity, no even considering, you know, I wonder if there's a different path here. I wonder if I've missed anything. Nobody is asking any of these questions. They aren't going to. They are given over to their own passions, and just like the scripture says in the New Testament, everything changed. When Paul received the revelation of Yeshua and was not taught by a man, he came out of that with a completely different understanding that sets everything else aside. It doesn't mean that there aren't principles that are useful and operating from out of the Old Testament, out of the Tanakh. But the way that God had to deal with Israel throughout that, really the period of name the prophet, and that's what was going on, Israel was always messed up. Well, we're not there. I don't do away with the patterns and the precedents and the principles. They're useful, but I'm not living in that administration. It's not useful to me. There was a time last night I woke up and I had trouble getting back to sleep, and all of a sudden, just this flood of memory, like a newsreel of people and circumstances of which I was and am so ashamed. How in the world did I get there? How could that have happened? What was so wrong with me? And then I came back to realizing, but none of that is reckoned now. All that is covered. All that has been covered. You don't live there. And I could have stayed in the humiliation, embarrassment, and shame of all of that before God, who knew it all and saw it all and saw it before it ever happened. But the only way I could climb out from that is realize none of that led to any kind of judgment, because it was never reckoned. He does not and did not hold any of that against me. This is the magnificence of receiving salvation, receiving the benefit of Yeshua's sacrifice, none of which was possible before that. And then to expand from there into Paul's revelation of the administration of the grace of God, where there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So put on the new humanity, all these things. I went through all this stuff. And then sometimes we're right back into the law, into the judgment. But I can't bear it. We are in a season where the only hope we have is to grasp what was accomplished by Yeshua's sacrifice. We're never going to appreciate, let alone move into, the administration of the grace of God, where we are saved, sanctified, conciliated, and justified, where judgment does not exist. Only grace exists, choices and consequences exist, but where we can move into really the kingdom administration right now. But we're never going to get there if that's not our focus. Christians do not grasp, they have not the faintest clue of Paul's revelation, and they don't really grasp what was accomplished and what salvation offers. What was accomplished by the spilling of Yeshua's blood and what salvation means right now. Because this is a world that looks, it isn't, but it looks like it's going straight to hell. But the only reason it looks that way is because of what's being paid attention to. And if we're going to pay attention to that stuff, we're going to be no different from anyone else. This is the only hope we have in this eon, because between now and the end of the eon, the life, death, and resurrection of Yeshua and Paul's revelation is the only thread we can walk on, because it is entirely apart from everything that went before. Yes, it has built, I understand the New Testament is built on the old. I get all that. I know Paul quoted from out of the Old Testament sparingly. But what he wrote is as desperately needed today as it was in the first century when he was bringing pagans out from under paganism and bringing them into not just the ways of God as seen in the Old Testament, but in the newness of what salvation has done, what salvation has brought with it. When have we expanded on what justification looks like? Oh my gosh! Paul spent his ministry bringing people out of bondage, out from under law, into the liberty that exists in the Spirit of God, in the presence of Yeshua. To have the mind of Christ. These are the things that can free people from the oppression that is apparent all around. And why are we not doing that? Why are we not heralding the only evangel that can set people free? It's not going to stop anything going on around. This is a world that's going to keep looking worse. That's the nature of this present wicked eon that Paul names. No one else in the scriptures names it that. But he does it more than once to show what has been accomplished by virtue of the sacrifice that Yeshua has made. What in the world has been accomplished on his account? What are we able to participate in if we just simply decide to do that? And what can we move into as a result of being filled with the Spirit of God and receiving the blessing of the opportunity of the conciliation, the word of the conciliation, the approach present, justification, freedom out from under law, and the recognition of what salvation means, meaning deliverance out from under the sentence of death ultimately, to live in the celestials. The pictures that Paul paints are marvelously freeing from the bonds of this, what is really only appearance in the world. If you stay in the recognition of all that God has done, which you can read through all that Paul wrote, then the oppression that exists in the natural, in the unsaved of this eon, does not have to drag you down with it. You get to live above it, beyond it, apart from it. The only thing that I feel like we're actually accountable to do is vote, because that's the only way to change anything around here. Vote. Vote for the people whose life it is and who've been given, I guess, or who are called, if you want to say it that way, to do battle in that realm. Point is, to herald the liberty, the freedom, and the marvelous destiny that is painted in Paul's revelation, given to him by the risen Lord for that specific purpose, if I may say so. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing when he showed Paul all this, that he took him into a third heaven. How many heavens have there been? Apparently only three. Okay, well, that means that third heaven no one else has seen, and he couldn't speak of it. But if you move from Yeshua into Paul, you could leave everyone else alone, and you will find the Father's purpose, step by step by step, and the accomplishment of his purpose, and your role. Why are you here? What is your role in his purpose? Why does he even care about you? Who are you? There is such life to be found in that trail that is found nowhere else. Nowhere else in all of the scriptures, except in some of the Psalms. When David is just, he cannot contain his love, his appreciation, his worship, his thanksgiving to God. There's very little that's more precious than that. Very little that's sweeter than that. And yet, bless his heart, he could not have known the Father the way we are able to know him. We are able to have a far more intimate relationship, amazingly, with the Father than David could ever hope for. Because the Messiah had not yet come, and we were not yet elevated into an opportunity to be called a son or daughter. A servant was the best he could be. More than hope, we need to move into expectation. That's what Paul wrote. The word of hope, I don't believe, ever even appears. It's always expectation. If you remember from times past, hope is a lame word. Its meaning is lame. It's very iffy. It's wishy-washy. It's maybe, maybe not. We're hoping, but we don't know. No. Expectation. We expect the word of God to come true, and he will deliver this wicked eon into the new eon with the presence of Yeshua himself. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, we can live in that time right now in the Spirit because of conciliation, God's approach present, the freedom and liberty of the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives. In the justification that Paul writes about, this is a new administration. It was new in the first century and it's not changed, but there is so much else, so much clutter, confusion, and distraction available out there. And forgive me, but the verse of the day from Bible Gateway is coming out of an old administration. It's coming out of 2,000-year-old Christianity, where that word, by the way, from Jeremiah today, I love that. Is there anything too hard for me? Those kinds of words are sensible for today, because God is no less capable today than he was then. If he could part the Red Sea yesterday, he can bloody well do it again today. But recognize that because Yeshua arrived on the scene, God stopped reckoning offenses, and he is allowing this wicked eon to play out until Yeshua returns. And the best we can do is live out of our spirits in communication with his Spirit, in the spirit of sonship or daughtership that Paul writes about, and in the revelation of the grace of God. What all that means, what all Yeshua accomplished when he allowed his blood to be spilled on our behalf, and everything that follows that, And the line goes from Yeshua into Paul, because he alone picked Paul after he had already ascended, trained him individually and intimately. We best pay attention to what Paul learned, and only he wrote, because there is freedom, there is liberty, there is the recognition of a Father who loves us and who wants us close, so close to himself that we practically melt into him. So that's where I pray we're going to go from now on, into that freedom, into that expectation, into that revelation that can set us free from the oppression of this eon, everything around us in the world. And your best bet is turn off the news. Stop reading the newspaper. There's no good news in there. It's all the same today as it was 20 years ago. Stop listening to the news. You're not getting the truth anyway. So this is the height of being in the world and not of it. But what better use of your time and energy and attention can there be but learning how to relate to the Father and receiving the way he relates to you? He calls you son. He calls you daughter. What does that look like? I guarantee you it doesn't look anything like what appears in any media you care to name. So why not bathe yourself in the Word of God that can set you free and that can impart to you his character, his nature, and more importantly, his love and grace that just really is beyond all comprehension. But what better endeavor than to explore it now?
So what we're going from is the judgment of times past, the old dispensation of the Old Testament, and even when Jesus, part of when Jesus was here, and going into the freedom and liberty that he bought for us, and just enmeshing ourselves in that.
What's that scripture where Paul says, "Lo, the old has passed by?
Behold, all things have become new."
All has come new. The line begins with Yeshua and ends when Paul ends. The end of 2 Timothy. There are other words from the Old Testament, from the prophets, and from the apostles in some places that are useful and instructive. But I have never seen what I feel like is the Spirit of God that will not let me shake. What we have in front of us, the ability to do that no one else is doing, to herald the gospel, which is the good news, not the bad news, the good news of the salvation of God through Yeshua, as expanded on and expressed in such eloquent terms and instructive terms as Paul did, because of his unique call, his unique anointing, and his unique training. He was the one sent to the Gentiles. We're Gentiles, for heaven's sakes. Not to say somebody Jewish couldn't benefit from this, but I'm not a son or daughter of Abraham in the flesh. Grafted in, yes, but grafted in to participate in the marvelous inheritance of allotment, which now is celestial, not even terrestrial. The land means nothing to me, but I reverence it. I just love the Jewish people. God bless them. But they've got some stuff to go through yet that I don't have to go through. We don't have to go through. We are in a new day. I've never seen it like this. We are in a new day, and it is incumbent on us, because of what Yeshua has done in our own lives and in our own spirits, to set people free for those who have ears to hear.
So the judgment of the past, where God's judgment was on Israel.
Yes.
I mean, he would bust them. He would judge other countries, nations that came against him. That was the judgment of God. So since Jesus died and was risen, since Jesus rose, the resurrected Lord, since then, since Paul's writings, beginning with Jesus' resurrection, we are under grace. But rather than the stuff happening around us being the judgment of God, instead it is choices and consequences and this present wicked eon that Paul speaks of.
You bet. That's it. You summarized it. Grace is not law. Conciliation and justification have, there is no judgment. When we get into justification, that is one of the most marvelous revelations of Paul. You are declared innocent. It's as if you, just like you say, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That is exactly right. That's how God sees it. Well, if God sees it that way, why are we seeing it any other way? You can't be more blessed than to be justified.
So then where it looks like to people based on Old Testament or that stuck in Old Testament judgment, it looks like what's going on in the world is the judgment of God. And that's how preachers will be preaching it. This is the judgment of God.
Absolutely. Of course it looks like that to them. They're in religion. If you're in religion, you are going to experience judgment, even though it's not there. You're going to experience an enemy, which is also not there, as an entity. You're going to have all of the problems that go along with religion. Yeshua did not command anyone, instruct anyone to start a religion. He did not instruct anyone to create edifices to house religion with all of its ceremony. That's all a human creation that was birthed from people who never walked with him in the first place and who brought in mythology and Pharisaism with new robes. Religion feels good to humans, but it is an affront to the Spirit of God. It's a total insult. It's a slap in the face. Why? Because in the Spirit of God, there's no religion necessary. You don't have to be bound by some kind of rules and regs and ceremonies and liturgies and clothing. That's all what Yeshua found when he got here and discovered that these people who were in all of that and looked like all of that were enmeshed in total hypocrisy. So there's no one I know of in Christendom today who really understands the grace of God, who really understands what justification means, who are heralding the good news of the salvation that Yeshua won that brings you out from dying, out from the sentence of death, out from the sting that dying has to it, into the freedom and liberty and life of the Spirit of God living within you, functioning within you, and you being able to express it through the language of your own spirit. Where is that? You can find that in some churches, but it is always accompanied by legalism. Religion and legalism are virtually the same thing. They go hand in hand. So there's not real liberty there. At some point, there's going to be a rule or a regulation that you're going to have to know about and adhere to. And Yeshua never set that up. Paul never set that up. All I'm saying is, this is what we need to explore, because here's where the freedom can be found. Here's where the blessing can be found that you can participate in, that you can live in, that you can appreciate, that you can explore with great enthusiasm, great wonder. This is the height of coming as a child. Whatever you've been taught, just set it aside. Just for the sake of argument, set it aside, because when you hear the truth, you will know it. And the truth will set you free, Yeshua said, as I recall. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Isn't that what he said? Well, okay, well, that's a principle and it operates today. So if you're not free, then I would suggest you just shift whatever your attention is placed on and come to learn where freedom is, to learn where is the love of the Father for real? Where is the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives? What is the great expectancy or the great expectation we have? What is the destiny we're headed for, and what's the path toward that? That has nothing to do with legalism and nothing to do with religion and certainly nothing to do with anything going on in the world today.
Jesus said in John 8:31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So that's the journey. Continue in his word, then you are truly disciples of his, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's what we're doing, is we read scriptures and continue in his word, being his disciples.
Yeah. One of his greatest words was, the kingdom of God is within you. Wow, what does that look like?
So just to follow up with the scripture on what you're saying about the kingdom of God is within you, it's from Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The concordance says, the kingdom of God is not coming with scrutiny. Neither shall they be declaring, lo here or lo there, for lo, the kingdom of God is inside you.
There you go. That's big.
Yes. So we're going to stay in the new of that.
We'll see what the Lord would say now, heralding from the position of the grace of God.
Anyway, so this is called Flowing with the Holy Spirit, and me as a, you know, I love the prophetic and the old Baptist ways, but I just left all that today, so we're going to have a new word and a new way, and praise the Lord, we're going to all be enmeshed in the, behold, God's making all things new. So, glad you joined us today. Father, just show us, oh God, just deliver. I thank you for removing the old stuff, the old ways. I thank you for what we've learned through all the Old Testament journeys of the old men and women of faith. But God, this is a new day. We are preparing for the return of your Son, and we want to be building up our spirits and accessing your wisdom and your will done your way for our lives today. So you warned about friendship with the world is hostility toward God, so we let all the friendship with the world and friendship with the old stuff, the old is passed by. Behold, God's making all things new. So love, peace, grace to all.